Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, listeners. It's now the 8 o'clock p.m. hour. Time for Words of Wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. It's always an honor and a privilege to come before the people of God as we expound on the Word of God. And we go to God's throne of grace where mercy can be found. And we come in position to let God know we are interested in being able to hear your word, that we may grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is the 8 o'clock hour now, y'all. God has afforded us the privilege to come back one more week. And I pray that all of your activities of the week that has passed has been a blessing. I thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule. And I thank God for allowing me to be able to go before his people. This is truly a day that God has made, and we all could find something to rejoice about. It's Bible study time, you guys. God has given us this forum where we could come together, the body of Christ, partakers in a household of faith, to explore the word of God together. And as always, our lesson tonight is going to come from the book of Matthew, the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 8. And the title of our lesson is, What Do We Do? So I guess it's a question, because it's asking, what do we do with the word of God once we've heard it? That's important tonight, y'all. What do you do with the word of God once you heard it? And what we're going to study today is Jesus' teaching. And he teaches about how people perceive the word of God once they hear it. And we're going to look at it tonight. And we are thankful for the word of God. At this time, I'm going to play a song, and when I come back, we'll be able to go into the Word of God after we have been brought to the throne of grace by our dear intercessor, Sister Pam.
Worry and how the
God let go and let God let go. Let God, oh, let go and let God let go and let God. My brother, let go and let God. My sister, you can't handle it. Let God, oh, let go and let God. Let go and let God. Oh, let go and let God. He's the only one with the answer. Just let God. He can handle it all. Yes, he can. Let God with tears in your eyes. Just let God.
And that song say, let go and let God. There's so many things going around in the world today. And I come to tell you tonight, many of them we have no control over. We can't stop the killing. We can't stop the homeless. We can't stop the wars. We can't stop our people that we may want saved. We can't make them be saved. We can't stop many things that's going on in the world today. But if we have God by our side, the song say to let go and let God. Because soon as you stop worrying how things is going to end, we have to trust God. When we trust God, even in the midst of everything that's going on in the world today, we should realize that God knows best and that God can handle anything. Nothing that's happening around the world, in our city and state, in our neighborhood, our homes, and even with our families. We can't control it. Not everything. And there's some things you can control. So I encourage you to make a change with the things that you can change that can make a difference. And let go and let God have all of the rest. Just stand and see the salvation of God, how he's going to move in and through your life, working all things out together for your good. God is holding back the punishment we do deserve. And he's constantly giving us things we don't deserve, which is called grace. We can't lose, y'all, with God on our side. So let us realize that it is God that worketh in us to will and to do his good pleasures. And sometimes we have to just take our hands off it and let go and let God. At this time, I'm going to turn everything over to our intercessors. Our dear sister, Sister Pam. Sister Pam, your mic is open.
Good evening, everybody. Psalms 121 says, I will lift up my eyes from the hills, which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Giving thanks to you, Father God, for the gift of life. Thank you, O Lord Jesus, for affording us another opportunity to come together for our Wednesday night Bible study. Lord, thanking you for this day, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and I shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for our sister in Christ, our teacher, a prayer warrior, Minister Diane Adams. Father God, we humbly ask that you continue using her in ways that only you can. Thanking you for our Bible study, and thank you, O Lord, for everybody that's listening in on tonight. God, I ask that you guide, lead, and direct our every path. And it's in Christ Jesus' name I pray and give thanks. Amen.
Amen, my sister. And as always, I thank you for your faithfulness. Yeah, your mic head went off, but I didn't know if you were saying anything.
No, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, it's Bible study time, and I pray that you guys have your Bibles with you. You know, whenever you go to study something, if you take a class online or when you was in high school or if you went to higher education in college, when you went to class, they had a book. You know, you come to Bible study to study what? The Word of God, which is the book. And when you come to the Bible study sessions, it would be good to have your book. But tonight we in the book of Matthew, the 13th chapter. I'm going to expound on the first through the eighth verse. And I've given this lesson a title, and it's really a question. What do we do with the Word of God once we heard it? What we do with the Word of God once we heard it. And I don't know about you, but I think everyone can contest that. It was a time in their life they heard, and it went in one ear and came out the other. And as we began to mature and grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when we heard the Word, we sometimes meditated on it, pondered on it, or even went back to the Word of God to study for ourselves. But I say, what do we do with the Word of God once we hear it? You know, we are in the book of Matthew, and Jesus is now teaching, and the chapter that I'm in, the 13th chapter, was Jesus teaching, and he was using parables. I ask that if you had a chance that you would read the entire 13 chapters of Matthew, because there's seven parables of teaching that Jesus is teaching his people with. So I'm going to give a little background. And when I first chose this to be our study verses for tonight, the first verse caught my attention. And it just says something so simple that made me think. You see, the first scripture in Matthew 13:1 said, and he went the house. That looks simple, right? So I thought about him being in the house and what made him come out the house. It made me wonder the significance of this scripture. Because you got to realize that everything was written for a reason and a season. God didn't write or have anything written in his Bible that didn't have a purpose. Because God is a God of purpose, y'all. So it made me wonder. You see, Jesus was evidently in the house teaching. Because when we look at Jesus, every time we see Jesus, he was teaching. There wasn't a time in the Bible when he wasn't. If he went to the well for a drink of water, y'all know when he met the woman at the well, he taught. When he saw a dead fig tree, he spoke to it. Jesus was on a mission. Jesus was teaching his disciples because Jesus realized that his days were numbered. And he was trying to give them everything that he could so it could sustain them in the mission of God once he had left. You see, what happened, Jesus was getting so popular that the doors of the synagogue was closed against him because the Pharisees and the Sadducees opposed his message. You see, it's amazing how when people don't want to hear what you have to say, they don't even want you around. How many times the people you used to be out there with and you begin to back and say, no, not today, how they began to treat you, how they stopped coming around. Some may even have the audacity to say, oh, you won't be holy, roly, and things like that. You see, when God has given us assignments, all the provisions necessary to accomplish it are already in place. See, they closed the doors of the synagogue and wouldn't allow Jesus to come in. But here we see Jesus is in a house. Hey! And he's teaching. For those of you out there, I believe you have a gift, talents, and resources. And the environment that you're in may not be caring and sharing or seem like they have respect to persons. I could tell you this. What God wants you to do and where God wants you to go and when God want to raise you, he will. He will. Nothing will be able to stop you and nothing will be able to block you because God has already orchestrated the road for you to walk in if you trust him. See, the doors were shut on Jesus in the synagogue and Jesus went in the house and prayed. So, he took his message now out of the house. Hallelujah. The scripture starts off, Matthew 13:1, and he went out of the house. You see, Jesus was in the house and he was teaching and the house got so crowded. And besides that, there were people outside of the house waiting for Jesus to hear what he had to say. And the crowd was gathering. So Jesus came out the house. And that's what we need to do with our church buildings today. All of us know that we are the church. And the church has to leave the building on Sunday morning for that that hour or two. When everybody is singing and praising God and happy with one another and smiling and acting right, looking good and smelling good, they figure everything is all right. But there's lost souls outside of the building. There's people needing encouragement outside of the building. There's people need to hear a word outside of the building. So this is the lesson that the church, we the church, can realize that we have to take our ministry outside of the church building. So Jesus left out of the house. Come on, y'all. And he went into the open air and taught the people. You see, Jesus didn't have to be in a synagogue, and he knew it. He would go in a house, in a field, in the trees, by the trees, or on the mountaintop. He went in valleys, high and low. But today he's sitting by the seashore because the crowd was so large, and he sat in a boat to speak away from the press of the crowd. Now, let me show you this. That is me. You know, when you buy a bottle of water and Jesus is in a boat in the water and the people on the seashore, that his words would echo perfectly because the sounds off the water makes great acoustics. You know, now if somebody go on the water and want to preach to the people on the shore, they're going to get these speakers and they're going to get this and they're going to get this and get this. God let Jesus get on the boat. And as he spoke, the person on the seashore heard, and it was sounds coming as if they had bought acoustic machines. And can you imagine a backdrop? God set it up, y'all. Look at God, who owns everything, and he uses everything he created for his glory. See, whatever he wants, for whoever he wants, and however he wants to, because he's God, and he's in total control. God is saying, see what you need, whatever you need. He said, I got it. This verse is letting us know that if we get busy about taking care of our Father's business, he will take care of ours. Don't worry how, when, where, how much. If God tells you to do it, do it. God never sets us up to fail. Jesus is teaching from a boat. In his 13th chapter of Matthew, he is speaking in a parable. And the one I'm going to talk about in verses 1 through 8 is a parable about four types of soil, dirt, which represent four types of people. Now, I'm going to ask you a question when it's over, so I want you to remember this. This parable is about four types of soil, which represent four types of people. And four different respondents. Four different respondents to the seed, to the word, once they heard it. Four different kinds of people. All of them hear the same word, but how they perceive it and go forth once they heard it. Now, in this parable, you know, a parable is a earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And a parable is like an analogy or a metaphor, and God uses things that are common to the people so they could get a good understanding. And when he's talking to them tonight, he's talking really about a farmer sowing seeds and expecting a harvest. You see, so in this parable tonight, the sower is the farmer, which represents Jesus Christ, or anyone that shares the word of God, the sower. What the sower sows, the sower sows seed. And this, in this parable, the seed is the word of God. You see, a seed is planted in to yield fruit for a harvest. The problem, listen to this, y'all, the problem is never the seed, which we will see tonight, but where it falls and how the soil receives it. You know, many times people say, I can't understand the word of God, and it's not plain, and it's not this, and, you know, and this and that. The word of God is true. The word is everlasting from generation to generation. And God did not design it that even the weakest and the simplest would not be able to receive it. Because why would he do that when it's his will that every sort of man be saved? So Jesus is breaking it down and using a farmer tonight, because all of them know about planting and harvest time, to give them this spiritual lesson using earthly things. And then we have the soil. The soil is the people, the ones that hear the word. The word falls on the soil. This parable is about the hearer of the word, and once they hear, what did she do with it? Remember, the sower is that spread the seeds in the soil. Are you a sower today? You can ask yourself when the last time you shared the word of God, sowed the word of God in the life of someone. We should all be sowers because Jesus gave a command and asked that we go ye therefore into all nations, teaching, sharing the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And it may be somebody out there that won't receive the word unless you bring it to them. God is going to give the opportunity, but it's up to you to do the work. So let's look at our scriptures right now. And in the 13th chapter, the first verse, it says, the same day Jesus went out the house. You know, he's out the house because the house then got full and the people is by the seashore. And he go out in a boat to teach. And a great multitude gathered together unto him. So he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. Picture that, y'all. You know, when I read the word of God, I'll be studying. Sometimes I like to sit down and just picture what is happening. Use your imagination that God has given us. And it was on the shore, verse 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Talking about that sower, the farmer, Jesus, anyone that shared a word of God. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowl came and devoured them up. Some fell by the wayside. You see, the wayside is a pad where people walk constantly. The ground become hard and no grass grow. Y'all know when, like I was young and where we lived, we used to take a shortcut to the grocery store and we would go not on the sidewalk or nothing, but on the side of a house that went to the next street. And after a while, that was a path. There was no grass growing, and it was obvious because no grass was growing and things like that. The ground was hard. So Jesus is saying this, and he's using things that we can relate to, all right? The wayside is a path where people constantly walk, and the ground become hard and no grass grows. See, he's speaking about simple farming methods so that the educator could not discern what he's saying. Speaking about simple farming methods. In other words, Jesus is keeping it simple. The farmer would place seeds in his sack and just throw them as he walked. Now, you got to remember back then they didn't plow and make the straight lines and put it in. A farmer would take a sack and put it around his neck, and he would walk, placing his hand in the sack, picking up the seeds and throwing them, and some fell by the wayside. But this shows how generous the farmer is, which represents Jesus, right? The farmer knew that not all of his seeds would grow, plants, and yield fruit. So he threw generously, so that every piece of soil could have an opportunity to bear fruit. He even put them on a beaten path, and that lets us know the generosity. You see, the seeds thrown would just lay on the surface on that hard ground. And what happened, birds, which represent the devil, would come and take them away, what they heard. Now, remember, this is a metaphor now. Satan is always ready and willing to take anything that Jesus has given to you, and if you don't use it, you lose it, y'all. This here soil represents people who hear the word of God but never truly believe it. Do y'all know they have people like that? They are hearers, but they never become doers. Their heart has become wax cold. They are hard-hearted, and most of the time hard-hated. These are people that even though they have heard the word of God, they won't understand it because they're not putting time in it. It's not because the word is something too difficult to understand. Remember that. But because their hearts are callous, not permitting any growth of the seed. You see, God has done his part, and it's up to us to do ours. We have to remember that no one understood everything, and no one understands everything now, but we understood less when we first believed. And then when we were doing what we wanted to do, how we wanted to do it, and didn't spend the time with the things of God, we didn't grow. It's not because the word is too difficult to understand, but because your hearts are callous, not permitting any growth of the seed. God do his part. It's up to us to do ours. You see, they hear and never do what the word of God says. But plenty of them don't do it because they don't know what the word of God said. And how can you please God, which he has given us the instruction on how to please him in his word, if we never listen to his word? So how could you be possibly pleasing God? And many times people hear a little bit here and a little bit there, and they think that it's enough. So they think that they are pleasing God. The Bible in 2 Timothy 2:15 say we all have to study to show ourselves approved as workmen need not, as workmen rightly dividing the word of truth. It's our part, y'all. And God is waiting for us. And the more we know about God, the more we'll know about ourselves. And the more we learn about God, the more we can trust him and place our faith in him. Because I can't understand how people are walking around day by day without a God on their side. And many people believe that the little they have or the little they do or the little they say or the little they pray or the little they study is enough, and God has to accept it. They're not taking the things of God and implementing in their life. They want to live their life and want God to do what they want him to do when they want him to do it. They want all of their emergencies to become his urgency. And that's a one-way ticket. These people do not think about other people. They are selfish. They just want to have their way. They constantly lean to their own understanding. So I come to tell you tonight, the problem is not with the seed, which is the word of God, but the problem starts with the soil. You, I, people. So tonight I'm going to ask you, and I guess it's going to be a twofold, what type of soil are you? And yet again, what type of soil would you like to be? Hallelujah. In verse 5, some fell into stony places where they had not much earth, and with force they sprung up because there was no deepness in the earth. Talking about the soil now. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. He's telling you what happens to the seed, which is the word of God, when it falls on certain types of soil, you, I, and people. See, these seeds fell on stony places. It's where the soil is thin. But guess what? It looks fine on the surface, but lying under a rocky shell on this ground, the seeds spring up quickly because it has little warmth in the soil, but the seed is unable to take root because of the stone. The stony ground is composed of people that, hearing the word, receive it immediately and, in fact, with gladness. And the only thing I could think about that, sometime on Sunday when you open the doors of the church, people come up and they be so happy and they be so joyous and they believe, you know, that it appeared that they're ready to make it all away. And then they never come back again. Look what it say. It fell, they received it, and in fact, gladly. It looks good. It acts good. But this is what happens when the seed, the word of God, fall on stony places. Come on, y'all. And it didn't take root. However, this does not last long because they are not rooted and grounded, no foundation. For when persecution and affliction arise, these people again immediately fall. They have a zeal at the moment, but it's not according to knowledge. And the Bible said these people are ever be learning, but never coming into the truth. They remain interested only until there's a sacrificial price to pay. And then they abandon Christ. They haven't learned how to hold on to the confession of their faith, or the race is not given to the swift or to the strong, but those who endure to the end. That God did not promise us a rose garden, and we're going to have trials and tribulations. We're going to have setbacks. We're going to get knocked down, but it's never what you go through, but who you go through it with, and you need Jesus. You see, their falling is not because the affliction is too heavy for them to bear, because the scripture tells us that the affliction will be light and certainly no more than you could bear. You got to stay and keep pressing, y'all. You got to start and don't stop. You see in verse 7, and some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. You see, when we talk about the thorns, we talking about a soil. It's fertile and perhaps too fertile because thorns, you know, and weeds and thistles, they grow there as well as fruit. You see, seeds among the thorns, these are people that make a superficial commitment without a true repentance. The problem with this type of soil is that the word of God is kept in their heart along with other things such as the cares of the world, which is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. You see, they say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. They say it with their mouth, but they still entangle with materialistic things, with, you know, things of the world. They haven't let it go. And everybody, once you get saved, you know, you might not get up, you know, all the way where you want to be. That's why it's a constant growth period. They are often say and make jokes that when you get baptized, you go in a dry devil and come out a wet devil. But God say, come as you are, no matter what state you're in. You're a whole, come anyway. If you're a drug dealer, come. If you're a prostitute, come. If you're a thief, if you murdered somebody, he say, come as you are. He's saying, I will work on you from the inside out. But you see, these people are too busy for the things of God, and they put other things first. You know, the scripture says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He said, try me. Seek me first, and I guarantee you all things will be added unto you. And I'm not just talking about material things, but the things of God, how you can grow stronger in his grace, how you can learn to rely and trust him in all things with prayer and supplication, and that he's going to take care of your enemies and make them. You're going to learn all of that, but you got to stay grounded. They have not fully turned away from their old ways. These things finally act as thorns to the world, to the word's growth, choking it, making it unfruitful. We cannot serve two masters, y'all, because we love one and hate the other. And we have to stop trying to mix the flesh with the spirit and stop compromising our faith. They only do the things of God when it's convenient for them or when it fits their agenda. How you know that? Oh, I would go to church, but I just don't have time. Oh, I would read the Bible, but I gotta whatever. Oh, I could sit down and pray, but not now. Oh, this. We live in a dispensation of time of no excuses. And I can tell you, if you're making excuses, there's no excuse that you can make that when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, well, when you stand before the judgment of God, there's nothing that you could say, the excuse you could come up with is going to be able to stand. God is doing his part. God has not left no will unturned. The Bible said that God has provided everything we'll ever need to live a righteous life. He's given us his word. He's given us his son. He's given us his Holy Spirit. He's given us teachers, evangelists. He's given us pastors and friends that know the word. He's given us churches and study halls, and he's given us everything that we are ever need to live a righteous life. So there will be no excuses that will stand. You see, again, I'll ask you, what type of sorrow are you? And you could kind of get to the answer if you evaluate yourself and say, what are you seeking first? And our last scripture tonight is, but others fell on good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. And verse 9 say, who has ear to hear, let him hear. Now, he said that this is the ones that fall on good ground. But he gave us measurements to let us know that even though you may be good ground, I'm good ground, and he's good ground, the return of the fruit is going to be indifferent, because he know everybody won't grow at the same time. He knows that everybody will not grow at the same time. Everybody wasn't even designed to grow at the same time. So he knows we won't grow at the same time, but he expects all of us to grow. He's given different people gifts and talents and resources. And God will never ask you to do anything that he haven't gifted you to do. So if Mary had the gift and you have your gift and they're not the same, Mary may get 100-fold return and you get 60. But in God's eye, that 60 and that 100, one is no better than the other. because God is no respecter person. He just acts in that we all grow. You see, the good Cyril is the fruitful people of the four types. This Cyril is well prepared to produce a larger harvest because it received the seed with gladness and tries its best to follow it. You see, everything necessary for growth has been done, and it has a good foundation. These are the people who heard the word of God and understand it, and then they do it. These people know that you will not understand all things at once. Now, this is important what I'm fixing to say. You will never understand all things at once. And that's what compiles our Christian walk. And you got to know it was designed for a lifetime. You got to know that. You got to keep pressing, keep growing, keep seeking the things of God for your lifetime. Jesus was obedient to his Father until his death, his life. So it's designed for our lifetime, not for our life day, month, or year. Until we die or Jesus come back for us. And it's okay. And that's what you have to know. You just have to keep putting one foot forward. You see, they must keep pressing, learning, growing in grace and the knowledge of God to ensure a fruitful harvest. You see, when the seed is grounded and rooted, it would become mature and steadfast, always abounding in the word of God. It comes through time, y'all. So that's why we got to be patient with the newbies. That's why we got to be patient with somebody who's leaning to their own understanding and you bringing them the word. Don't stop. You keep on doing it. You keep on giving. You keep on sharing. And most of all, keep on caring for those, y'all. Remember, to whom much is given, much is required. And the more you know, the more you grow, and the more you will be able to show. And then only, you'll be able to let your light shine before men and could see the good works and glorify the Father in heaven. You see, the good Cyril connects, got connected with God and is ready to stay connected. Are you ready to stay connected and grow? And don't ever look at somebody else and figure they getting there before you. Or look at your age and say where you should be. Where you are is where you are. It's where God allows you to be today. But it has nothing to do with your tomorrow. And I'm just telling you, if you want to know more of the things of God and you want more of God and you want to be obedient to God and you want to please God, how fast and how far you go depends on you. You see, this farmer in this parable is constantly cultivating the soil to ensure a plentiful harvest. That's what the word of God do, y'all. It teaches us day by day. And it lets us know God is constantly cultivating us with his word. Christ is constantly cultivating us with his gift of hope for our salvation. And the Holy Spirit is cultivating us by molding and shaping us into the intended purpose that God designed for us. And I come to tell you this tonight. It's not hard because all of this is God's work. Our part is to hear the word, to do the word, and cooperate with the Holy Spirit. There's a scripture in Philippians 2 and 13 say, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Come on, y'all. You can't talk about how hard it is. You see, the sower sows the seeds, but not all seeds sprout and become grown at the same time or the same way. But the farmer, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, waits patiently, and that's how God designed it. Don't be discouraged if you do not always see the result as you faithfully share the word with others. But keep on doing it, y'all, because it's not our job to expect the return we hope for based on our own understanding. We cannot save anyone. That's Christ's job. We are to share the word and keep it moving. It's a miracle of God's Holy Spirit as he uses your words to lead others to him. It's not your job. Share it. The Holy Ghost knows what to do. Keep it moving. Look for the next one. We can only give information. It's the Holy Ghost to give illumination and revelation. Belief cannot be forced to follow a mathematical formula. It's not if you always do it this way. The last time you did it that way, many times when Jesus healed somebody, he did them differently. You can't approach everybody the same way because everybody is not the same. Ask the Holy Spirit to ask you, to tell you what to say, when to say, how to say, and who to say it to. Don't get tired because you will never know when the sorrow will receive the seed. Talking about the same person. I didn't give this message tonight for damnation. It's for growth. Because where you are today has nothing to do where you will be tomorrow. That's on you. And if you are saved, the Bible teaches us that there is no condemnation. I'm only asking for your consideration tonight and for your cooperation in your cultivation that God is preparing and working it out together for your good so that you could make a re-evaluation. We have to examine ourselves tonight, Joe, all of us, that we can make a re-evaluation as to what type of sorrow we are now, and mainly what type of soil we would want to become. And that's the lesson for tonight. Glory, hallelujah. And as always, if there's any questions, comments, or concerns, you could ask them at this time. All you have to do is press the one button on your phone, and you could speak to how beautifully God used this illustration in the parable of the sower and the seeds. And I come to tell you tonight, each and every one of us has been one of these types of soil. And some may still be one of these types of soil. But if you're not where you want to be, have a talk with Jesus, and I'm sure he'll bring you to where you want to be. Where you are tonight has nothing to do with where you're going to be tomorrow. God never let our past dictate our future. Jesus is like the generous farmer. He has a desire for everyone to have a chance to produce fruit and be fruitful. Anyone has anything, caller, your number is 985-74-985. Well, Sister Diane, your mic is open.
Hi, how y'all doing tonight? I just wanted to say I wanted to say I really enjoyed it tonight. Yeah, I think everybody has to hear that. Maybe even every once in a while, you know.
Right.
I really try to pray, and I pray to God put so I can help somebody. And I do feel like he will equip me when that happens, you know. And so sometimes it's just a small thing for other people, you know. And it's just a nicer life with God in it when you have a big relationship with him. It is. And that's all I wanted to say, and I really enjoyed the sermon tonight.
All right, Sister Diane McBride. You know, I love you so much, and I always be so happy when I hear your voice. And I thank you because what you said really made sense to have a nice life. Come on now.
Yeah.
And you say that it only takes the little things. See, someone might just need a smile.
That's right.
Someone might just need a hug.
Mm-hmm.
Someone maybe just need a word of encouragement or a pat on the back, but we are too busy. And we know some people are going through. We know it.
I think everybody's got something, you know.
That's
sometimes
right.
It's big, sometimes it's small, but it's usually always something.
And this will get me plenty of times. People will tell me, Sister Diane, I try to call and check on people, right? When you talk
right.
to so-and-so, tell them I said hello.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah, I do.
And I get that all the time. But God is faithful, y'all. And he's given us his word. He just want to go ahead, babe.
But I can see what you were reading and preaching. It's just a dry desert, you know. And a person just being that dry and so hot, having such a hard heart, compared to somebody who's really open, and you know the ground is really moist, and
come on,
they share what they know.
Beautiful.
So it's about sharing, too. It is. Sharing your information, your knowledge. So, no,
and everybody
I, you,
something
I enjoy you, Joe.
I enjoy you, too. But everybody has something. The scripture told us the difference, 100-fold, 60-fold, because everybody don't have the same amount. But the amount that you have is enough to share. Don't ever get it twisted. And then people will say, I'm shy. If you just that shy, you got to be shy with everything. But don't pick and choose what you want to be shy of. And I'll tell you, in the things of God, it's not a place to be shy.
No.
Just
no,
information.
It's a place to be bold and stand up for them.
And he said, never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
I know.
And people
beautiful
don't realize
word
by
too.
Now. Yeah, he said, don't be ashamed. Mm-hmm. And people will say, well, I'm not ashamed of it. But if you hold it and don't share it as if you are ashamed of it. But
and
I do understand
yeah,
people
I think
shy.
Some, yeah, I do too. I do too. And but some of it, you know, if they don't want to get in it, they're not going to get in it. If their ground is so hard, the seed just fell, you know, it dried up. I think people have to be going through, well, they're usually going through something to stand up and get help. And,
right.
and getting help from other people is a wonderful thing. It is.
That's right. That is so true. And God made all of us different. So I'm not saying what a person should do or how they should do it. The word of God
right.
should say why they should do it. And I'm
mm-hmm.
not acting as if, you know, the police in giving out citations or anything like that. But when we study the word of God, we have to say what thus saith the Lord.
Yes.
And keep it moving.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, and you'll find the ones who will brush you off as you talk, you know, and you'll find somebody who's really interested. It just depends on where they're at in life, and depends on the person too, I think. If they're open to learn.
But God is going to send you. Sometimes God has an assignment just for you. He know that lady over there is ready. He know you might not have all of the knowledge, but he know the knowledge you have is enough for what she needs. God connects the dots is what we got to realize. God gives the opportunities, but we just have to obey
him and be open for him. Obey him. Obey him. That's really a good way to say it, you know, because I don't know, there's something, if you step out of your circle for him and do something for him, maybe just baptize somebody for the first time. You know, you might feel funny or something, but I just really think just to do God's work is showing.
Right.
Showing,
and that's what
people.
He asked.
Yeah.
That's all he asked.
Yeah. And you think 24 hours, you don't get asked that much. And if I stay in my 24 hours, you know what I'm saying, with God, it's so much easier.
Right. And he don't want all of the 24 hours. He know you have to take care of your house, your husband, your children, your job. You got to take care of yourself. You got to make groceries. You got to wash the clothes. He knows all of that. He gave us 24, and he don't ask you for 24. So thank
you,
Sister Diane.
I
love
you,
too.
I love you. And I'll see you next week.
Praise God. Thank you for calling in.
Okay, thanks.
We have another call of 504. Your number is 9. A caller, your number was 9, started with a 9, and caller, you look like you hung up, and you could call back and press the 1, but in the meantime, I have a call of 504-715. I think this Minister Elyria Mackey, your mic is open.
Yes, I enjoyed the word on tonight. We have to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the works of the Lord, as the words say. For as much as we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord, we have to study the word of God constantly. But I want to sing a song tonight.
Praise be to God.
Thank you, Lord. Lord, you are my strong tower, yes, you are. I can call on your name at any time. My strength, you're my guide. You are always by my side. And I'm so grateful for who you are. Lord, you are my deliverer. You delivered me from a world of sin and shame. Sin and shame. When I was out, you took me in. You've been my very, very best friend. And I'm so grateful for
who you are. I want to say yes, 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 oh, yes. You are Alpha and Omega. You're the beginning and you're the end. I just want to say yes, 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 oh yes. I'm so grateful for who you are. I just want to say yes. Yes, yes, oh yes. You're my rock, rock in the weary land. You are my shelter in the time of storm. Help me say yes, yes, yes. Yes, you are. I can call on the Lord's name at any time, any time. You're my strength. Lord, you're my guide. You are always by my side. And I'm so grateful for who you are. I just want to say yes, 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 oh yes. Lord, I'm so grateful for who you are. I'm so grateful for who you are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you so much, Minister Mackey. And if there's nothing else anyone would like to say at this time, we could have our benediction. Sister Pam, it's on you.
Good night. The benediction tonight be coming from 2 Peter 3:18. For grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to him be glory both now and forever. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you again, Sister Pam. Thanks to each and every one of you for tuning in with us on tonight. And if it's God's will and your desire, we'll be back on next Wednesday at the 8 o'clock hour. But until then, go in peace. I pray that everyone have a beautiful night rest and that the Lord God bless each and every one of us, our household, our families, our community, our church homes, bless each and every one of us real good. Good night. See you next week.